Hallelujah. This particular place that we're gathered in is built from a group of people that one of their members was Francis Harrison Pierpont. Francis Harrison Pierpont was at the dedication of this building, and he was 82 years old. For 18 years, in his church family that met in a building right up where the police department is, he was the superintendent of the Sunday school. Fairmont State started out of the basement of the building right up there because they taught Africans how to read and write. He was anti-slavery. And because he was good friends with Abraham Lincoln, he approached his friend, and Abraham Lincoln decreed that West Virginia would become a state. And that was all done by a spiritual Christian man. And we're standing in the very building that that all happened, that cultivated the spirit of believers in government. That's amazing, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Well, Father God, we want to ask your blessing upon the Word, and as we have our time of communion, we ask, Lord, now, right now, that you would cause revelation of who you are and what you've done for us to be manifest in our heart. We're hungry for you. We're thirsty for you. We're tired of the world. We want more of you, Lord. Amen? The message title is The God Who Was Betrayed, and the subtitle, Generosity Versus Selfishness. And I have a passage of Scripture, and it goes like this. This is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, this is what's really jumped out at me, and we're wanting to focus on this about this betrayal thing, because this whole, it's really interesting that you say, on the night he was betrayed, and then we launch into communion. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. And so, like, communion is wrapped around in the framework of this picture of betrayal. And the picture now of the resources that God is giving us from his covenant to us is wrapped around this idea of Jesus being betrayed. Has anybody ever been betrayed? Betrayal will break you in some way. Betray, it means to deliver or expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty. These are just some dictionary definitions. Listen to this. This is the simplest one. To disappoint the hopes or expectations of. Did you get all that? To disappoint the hopes or expectations of. Be disloyal to. To deceive, misguide, or corrupt. Now here's some synonyms. Be disloyal. Abandon. Be unfaithful. Break faith. Break promise. Break trust. And deceive. Everyone has been deceived at some time, and everyone betrays at some time, intending to or not. Now, way over here, you have the little betrayal. Everybody understands something with me, that the human heart is extremely sensitive and tender. And it starts off that way. And it has to be really bruised and hurt a great deal to get hardened. And then over here, so the little tiny betrayals still have a great effect. And then way over here, you have somebody that has known you a long time that really wants to stick it to you. And they really want to do you in. Or you could be that person. Now, I kept asking the Lord, because this story from my past kept coming to my mind. And I said, Lord, that's not really betrayal. And He goes, just think about it for a minute. And oh my gosh, I started thinking about it. And it was when I was really, really, really little. One, you know, the kind of kid that you pick up and you put him in the grocery cart. And I was in the store with my mom, and she was pushing me along in the grocery cart. And she had on a red dress that day. And I remember seeing a cartoon character on a box of cereal. And I said, Mommy, 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 I want to, you know. So she takes me out, and she puts me on the floor. And I go down there, and I'm looking at the box. And her red dress is right here. And I reach over and I grab her red dress. And I look up and it's not my mommy. And I'm shocked. And I'm in a state of, and I look down the aisle and she's on the other end and she busts out laughing. Like, oh, this is so cute, you know, whatever. And she goes and gets me and I'm terrified. And the Lord was helping me see something because I felt betrayed. And I didn't realize that I felt betrayed by my mom. Because she put me up in the basket and chatted with the lady, and I stayed in this frozen state of shock. Little hearts are sensitive. And so what happened is, instead of her saying, oh, honey, are you okay? I was scared, Mom. I didn't have an opportunity to do this. Now, fast forward the decades. Now I'm in my mid-30s. I've been married for, what, 5? We got married when I was, no, 24. I've been married about 10 years almost. 10 years. And I go to the store with my wife, and I get really nervous. Fast. And I remember this. We were at the middle, we were at Bridgeport, and there was a Bed Bath and Body Works, Body Works type place. And Heather says to me, I'm going to go in to the store, and I'm going to get this and this. Now, I don't know that I'm still suffering from betrayal, see. I just have this unusual sense of paranoia come over me when I'm in a store with somebody who's close to me, because I don't know what's going to happen. And that started back there. And so she says, well, I'm going to go and get this and this. And I said, okay. And so she wants me to go in with her. You remember this. And we go into the store. We go into the store, and she gets this product and puts it in there, and I'm feeling safe. Look, I'm 34 now. Look, it's crazy. She gets the other product, puts it in there safe, and then she looks around the room. Oh my God. She looked around the room and I became extremely anxious. And I didn't know I got really like turning red enough, and I felt like I was betrayed. Isn't that amazing? You said that you were going to buy 2 things, and now you're looking around. And I said, man, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. And I went home, and we were living in the same building over there. I remember going up in the bedroom, and I sat on the bed. I said, Lord Jesus, what is wrong with me? And He said, it's the woman in the red dress. And I went back to that moment, and I remember standing there and pulling on the red dress and looking up, and it wasn't my mommy's face. And the fear that came over me. And the sense of now, the Holy Spirit's telling me, this is the sense of betrayal. And you have your moments where your heart was expecting one thing and you got another. And you were feelings of betrayal happened to you. And the Lord took me back there. And I, as a full-grown man now, have these emotions of a little child. And I'm starting to cry. and I start to let out the grief of the moment of the little boy that was confused about where his mommy went and felt betrayed because you're not there for me. My expectation is that it would be you, but you're not there. You wandered off. You walked away. You walked away. You left me. How many of you have had little moments like this? This is why the passage in the Bible says, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus was betrayed to help us with our points of betrayal, to help us be healed from our betrayal. That's why I put in here that betrayal will break you in some way. And I think it's symbolic. It says, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. Something in me broke. Trust broke. There was a break with trust. And that little seed with the break with trust grew up and began to control my life. And Jesus says, I understand betrayal. I understand the pain and the hurt of feeling abandoned. I understand what it feels like when you're misled and you feel in a moment deceived and you're not sure what to do and you feel even violated in that moment. He says, I know what to do because I am a God who's been betrayed, who has a covenant with you. And I'm going to release a resource into your life for all the moments of betrayal that you've ever had. Abandonment. Who's been abandoned before? Who even walks around with the feelings of, when's anybody going to show up in my life and help me? It's phenomenal how sensitive and tender the human heart is to points of being forsaken, being neglected, being lost, being misled somehow, having an expectation that something is going to go one way and it goes another way. And then we have this Bible character who does it, and this is Judas. Judas shows up. Jesus spends some time, it says in Luke 6, 12 through 16, in those days he went up on the mountain to pray. This is Jesus going up to pray. All night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and he chose from them 12 of whom he named apostles. There was Simon, who he called Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James and Judas Iscariot. And how would you like your name to be in the Bible? It says, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, watch this. Later on, in John chapter 12, starting with verse 1, it says, 6 days before Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, and whom Jesus had raised from the dead. That's got to be some kind of a party. So they gave him a dinner for that there, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them, reclining with him at the table. Jesus, Lazarus is sitting there and he's risen from the dead. What a testimony in the town. Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So here we got the Judas factor. Judas is picked and he's around Jesus and he's a thief. But he wasn't a traitor. And he was in the presence of Jesus, and he could have dealt with the thief part. And there are things in your and my life that we're around Jesus, and if we don't deal with them, they will develop into something else. And you can be around the Lord and not change. Is that right? And he was a thief, but he became a traitor.
Now here's the question. What areas in your heart does God want to deal with now? So if you don't leave that alone, it becomes something else. In other words, here's the question. What are you becoming? What are you becoming? Where are you headed? How is life developing for you? Where are you going? What is going on? Look at this, guys. A person can be around Jesus and betray what Jesus is about. Is that right? People can be with the Lord and never let the dealings of the Holy Spirit change their life. This is a big issue to me. If you're coming out of something very difficult, which most of us have come out of stuff that's very difficult, it's very difficult to deal with issues when you don't feel safe, isn't it? If you don't feel safe, you're not going to open up that area of your heart. You feel devastated. The way I felt inside was I felt so ashamed of myself that if anybody knew how I felt on the inside and the things I'd done, that they would be ashamed of me, and I couldn't handle that. I just couldn't take any more of that. I just want to kill myself because I hated what I'd done and I hated what I'd become. And that's the story of Judas. That's the story of Judas. Judas had greed in his heart. He had selfishness in his heart. It was about him. It wasn't about serving the Lord. It was about what was going on in Judas. And Judas said, for 30 pieces of silver, I could get some money out of this guy. And he shows up that night, and he betrays Jesus with a kiss. The one I kiss, that'll be the one for the soldiers to come and take that night. Wow, this is like really sticking it to Jesus. And you know, Jesus already knew. That whole scene when Jesus washed their feet, he already knows that he's going to be betrayed. And he knows what's going on. And he even kind of gets ready for it. And then he's at the table and he tells all the guys, you know, look, somebody's going to betray me and stuff. And then they all think it's going to be them. Because nobody had a clue. Isn't it funny that God is the one who sees in everybody's hearts? And we're blind to even what's in our own heart. And Jesus said, it's going to be the one that when I sop the bread and hand it to this one, he'll be the one. And they hand it to Judas, and still nobody gets it. And he says, go do what you have to do. And they think, well, he has the money bag. He's probably going to go buy some food for a feast we're going to be doing or something. You know, they have no idea. But Jesus is fully aware of what's going on. And he's fully aware of what happened in your life. And it didn't get by him. Most of the pain that we carry around, we think we're all alone and nobody understands. But Jesus saw it. And his eye is upon you to bring you along into all that he wants you to become. And the help is available. And it's framed up right here. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. Now here's the point. Jesus was broken for us. That's number one. That's solution number one. Let's go ahead and look at that. Jesus gave his broken body for us. This is the beginning of how you see the restoration. I want to read some out of Isaiah 53, but let me tell you a little story here. There was a lady that came to our ministry and her husband. And she had been on a youth with a mission trip in Russia. Now, this is a real graphic story. Like, this is an R-rated story, okay? She was really hurting, and she couldn't get past a terrible event that happened when she was serving the Lord in another country. What happened is, she was raped. And so now she's carrying the residual poisoning of this violation. She was betrayed. Okay? Here she's out serving the Lord, and she loves the Lord, but this horrible thing, and she really didn't blame him. And I'll never forget this. Because Jesus carries our burdens. See, Isaiah 53 talks all about how Jesus carries our burdens in his body. He carries our afflictions. He bore our griefs. Everybody say, bore our griefs. He bore our betrayals. He bore all the things that are a deep pain to our heart, or stuff that, like me, I'd even forgotten about. It just affected me later in life because it was still alive. It had never gotten resolved. Are you there? And there are things we walk around with. And at City Church, there's an environment that Jesus promotes. And it says, I love you so much. I don't want you to be the broken little child you were. I want to heal you and bring you up so you can reflect my heart and my love. And I'll cause you to grow out of that and be healed and freed. Come out of the pain of that and come into the fullness of my love for you. So your personality won't be rooted in the bitter hurts. It'll be rooted in my love. And there's two separate kinds of fruitfulness that come out of those two different soils. Is that right? And it's not easy. And this girl, she was kind of reliving the moment of the rape experience. And suddenly, I'm just praying with her, and she's got her eyes closed, and we're inviting Jesus to come into this scene and allow Jesus to minister to her. I've learned something really powerful, that if you have a really hurtful memory and Jesus comes into the memory and heals you, the difference is now you don't have any pain left in the memory. What you have is you have the memory, but there's no pain because Jesus came to you in the memory. And what was amazing is she said, she's like, suddenly she begins to cry and there's a sense of joy coming over her face and she's like almost surprised, but she's being healed. And she said, Jesus is being violated first. And all the pain began to come out of her. Somehow in her imagination, Jesus showed up between the two of them and took the pain and released his redemptive healing into her soul. He bore our griefs, and Jesus is good at bearing your griefs and healing your betrayals. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, verse 3 of Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So if you feel like you're the only one acquainted with grief, guess what? Jesus is acquainted with grief. So he's going to be true to you when he ministers to you. It says in verse 4, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, and like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. So yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, and he was put to grief. And when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, and he shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. This is an amazing passage. And I love this. It says he was numbered with the transgressors. There's nothing that you've experienced that he can't get in the middle of and bring healing to it. Nothing. He brings the hope and the cleansing and the healing that we need. Now, here's how he does it. The first solution is that he gave his broken body. The second solution is to be renewed in your new self in Christ Jesus. And all of this happens at the table. See, what happens with the bread, he says, I'm broken for you, but guess what? I rose again. And when you partake of me, I have my identity and my nature and my character and who I am, my DNA, and I inject it into you. And what you weren't able to do before, I empower you to do because I rose from the grave. I rose up again. I'm going to cause you to rise up again. I'm going to give you the power. You're going to renew who you are. You're not going to be, your identity is not going to be based on the negative things that happened to you. It's going to be based on your renewed spirit of who I say you are. And I'm releasing who I am into you through the bread. You are broken, all your brokenness goes to Him. All His wholeness goes to you. He says, He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ.
Say this with me. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Isn't that good news? You could never be what God is, except for Him stepping in and doing it. You could never become what He wants you to be. Now, here's the other part. I want you to, sometimes we just really say, it's too hard. And when we do that, I got a verse for you. You can write it down. It's Hebrews 12, 3 and 4, and it says this. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding of blood. So it doesn't matter the depth of emotional pain, you're not bleeding yet. Jesus took the hostility. He took the weight of the pain. And He says, bring me the weight of your pain. I can handle it. And then this, I have this on two slides, this next verse. It says, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off. Everybody say put off. Put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And this is very key because it has to do with you beginning to believe who Jesus says you actually are. You can have a real rough go at life and have kind of a double-minded way where you still think that you're who you used to be when Jesus says no. Listen, he really is into this. You don't get better looking at yourself through the filter of all your mistakes. You just don't get better that way. Solution number three. This is key. Use the authority of forgiveness you have been given through the blood of Jesus. Now, we're going to take the broken body first. And we're going to allow the Lord to take the betrayal upon Him. Would you give your betrayals to Him? We're going to transfer the weight of the negative emotional experience and put that on Jesus. Place it on Him. That's what this is about. Now look, this is also about an amazing reality, and it's salvation in Jesus Christ. I have seen the Lord heal people before they know Him. I've seen the Lord begin to work freedom in people because truth sets free before they know who the truth is. I've seen God's grace happen in people's lives when they just begin to open to the truth about what He has said before they come to the reality of giving their hearts over to the safekeeping of who He is. And so here's what I'm going to say. Don't just give Him your pain, give Him you. Give the Lord you. If not, this is just kind of like, just shove it in your pocket. It doesn't have any power because it's really tied to Jesus' broken body. And Jesus died on the cross and took all of the betrayals. Look, you don't want to be the person who finally gets to the end of your life and kills yourself like Judas because you were around what could change you, and you never took advantage of it. You don't want to be that guy that ends his own life because he realizes the selfishness that he was based on was never producing in him what he thought it was going to bring him. But Jesus never disappoints. Jesus removes burdens. Jesus breaks chains. He heals memory. He does all this stuff. He heals the brokenhearted. You know how come I know people can be brokenhearted? The Bible says He heals those people. So there's two things. First one is we're going to lift this together, and I want to pray a prayer. I want to ask you to transfer your hurt onto Jesus. And then secondly, as we partake it, we want to now say,
nay, your nature, my new self in Christ Jesus, begin to rise up and live in the newness of life in Christ. Are you there? Let's go ahead and let's lift it. Just focus your attention on the Lord right now, just as He was standing right here in front of us. Let's just praise Him for a moment. Lord Jesus, we just thank You so much for on this night that You were betrayed. You knew what was going on, and You understood what was going on in His heart. You know what's going on in everybody's heart. And we want to thank You for making this covenant that through Your broken body, as we do this in remembrance of You, wholeness comes. Negative things leave and positive things enter because of what You did for us. So I want to ask now that You would begin even right now removing, as we willfully choose to put the hurts upon the broken body of Jesus. We just choose and will to set them over on You, put them into Your hands, give You our pain, give You our suffering, give You our betrayals. We hand them to You now in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord with me. Thank You, Lord. We give it to You. We give it to You. We give it to You. And now we receive the covenant of the new life, the resurrection power of Jesus. And as we open and we partake of this, we say, Lord, let the new self come alive in Christ Jesus. Let there come a new energy, a new strength, a new capacity, a new ability to rise up and live the way Jesus is empowering us to, through the vision of what You have for us. In the name of Jesus, let's partake together. Hallelujah. Now Jesus has given an authority with the power of His blood. And He said to His disciples when He had risen, He said, who You forgive, they're forgiven. Now here's the thing. When you don't want to forgive them, you need help. Isn't that right? Because some betrayals are so deep and they're so painful, it's very difficult just to willingly do it without the capacity that Jesus gives. He begins to give us an ability to do things we can't do in our own self. I remember a long time ago, we were in the high desert out in Hesperia, Apple Valley area, and I was praying with a lady, and the Lord showed me, she says, I can't forgive him, I can't forgive him, I can't forgive him. I said, well, would you pray this prayer? I said, okay. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm struggling, but I'll open my heart to You to forgive through me. Will You come and do the forgiving through me? I just submit to You. And next thing you know, the power of the forgiveness flowed through her and the healing began to happen, because in our own self, we so quickly run out of strength to do the spiritual thing we need to do. But Jesus never runs out. And it runs deep and it runs long, because He saves to the uttermost. So if you have a willingness to allow Him to do it, He'll remove the bitter things. He'll remove the betrayals. And I want to say to you, do this as many times as you do it until He comes back. What He's saying is, you're going to need to forgive a lot. You're not going to need to learn your identity in me a lot. You're not going to need to roll over all those hurts that happened to you along in life a lot. There's going to be betrayals coming. There's going to be things that are not working out. And you're going to need this all the time. Everything that He does for us. Let's lift the cup. Lord Jesus, we just choose to open to the forgiving power. Just say that to the Lord in your own words. Just say, take a moment. Say, Lord, help me. Help me be the forgiving person You want me to be. As I receive this, wash my sins of bitterness away. Wash my sins away, Lord. Help me. I just receive You. I receive You. And now I choose to yield my heart over to You to allow Your forgiveness to flow through me. I just choose that in the name of Jesus. I receive it. Let's partake. Lord Jesus, I ask that You would be very close to Your people now in any place and every place where there's come a tenderness to the healing grace of Jesus through this time of coming before You. I ask that You would continue to work in them. Cause the burdens and the pains of life, the ups and downs, all those things, to just the scarrings to be healed. And let there come the rejuvenation of Your life in each heart.
I pray for a profound hope to rise and a new day to begin to happen in their life by your hand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I want to ask that we have some more people over here on this carpet area. And we're going to invite you for, if you want further attention in prayer. They're here to pray for you. Your loved people, go ahead and be dismissed. In Jesus' name.